Hey everyone, welcome back to the C3SYD podcast. We are continuing week two of our Road to the Cross series as we look at Jesus, his humanity, and all the things that get us to the point of Easter. We're joined with a special guest today, and so let's get into it. Welcome, Emily Antcliffe, to the podcast.
Thank you.
Nice to have you. Have you ever been on the podcast?
First time visitor.
Wow. Glad to have you. I'm sure you will. Well, Em is one of our location pastors for Upper North Shore.
Yes.
Along with her husband, Tyler, who has been on the podcast.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Can you just give us, like our audience, a little insight into your life and tell us what a day in the life looks like?
Oh, yes, sure. Okay, so yeah, I'm a location pastor with my husband Tyler, and we have two young kids, so 3 and 1.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm living my dream.
Oh,
I have dreamt of being a stay-at-home mum my whole life, and I'm living that out.
Oh, love it.
And it's the best. Mm-hmm. So every day is different, but essentially I'm spending all day with my kids.
Mm-hmm.
We've explored every park possible. I get to see friends. Totally. And hey, they're long days.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever said we all have the same 24 hours in a day was not raising toddlers. They are very long
totally.
Days.
Isn't that what they say about Beyonce? It's like you have the same 24 hours as Beyonce.
Like, do we? Do we though?
I'd say she's got a lot of help.
I think so. So yeah, I'm just juggling raising two little kids and volunteer location pastoring and yeah, just living the dream really.
Oh, love to hear it. Yeah, love it. Well, I mean, as you said, like you're doing life with two very little people.
Yes.
And something about Jesus was that he didn't walk alone either. And while they may not have been 3 and 1 year old.
Yeah.
He just did life in community as he walked this earth. He had his 12 disciples, but then other friends, his mom at times was with him, like constantly surrounded. And as we look at the Gospels, you see lots of different accounts of that.
Yeah.
So leading into our first question, when you think of a meaningful relationship, whether that's a significant other or just friends, what are some, like, I guess, pinnacle characteristics or key characteristics of those relationships that make them solid?
I think for me, selflessness has to be like the number one attribute when I think of a really good friend.
Mm-hmm.
Like the times where I felt ministered to the most by my friends is when they've been totally selfless and generous. And it's that's nothing to do with money or physical things.
Yeah.
It's like as simple as someone drops me home and it is not remotely on their way home. Like they went to that extra effort. Yeah. They went out of their way. They were selfless to do that.
Mm.
Or a family that's made our family a meal when they've got kids of their own. I know how hard getting dinner on the table is at 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Absolutely.
And yet someone else has done that for me.
Mm.
So it's those moments where, you know, I know that took effort.
Mm-hmm.
I know that cost you something.
Yeah.
And you did it anyway, and it's just out of pure love. I think
totally.
Those are the moments of friendship where I go, oh, this is so real, and this really blesses me as a friend.
Yeah. Do you find it hard to accept that from people?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I guess the other way around, I'm like, no, like you rest, you enjoy dinner with your family. It's kind of like this battle, but part of being a good friend is accepting that too.
Yeah.
Accepting love and help from other people. It's a bit of a dance. It has to go both ways. It can't be one person loving on someone and the other person always receiving.
Yeah.
You've got to be able to do the dance on both sides.
Yeah, I agree. I, like late last year, had a lot of that from friends as I was walking through something. And I just like was so touched by the amount that my friends gave and like loved on me in that time.
Mm.
And I was just like, wow, I don't think I've walked through stuff in life, but kind of not really in the time of being their friend.
Yes.
And so just like after years of friendship and stuff and then having this thing happen and the way that they all just cared for me, I was like, oh my gosh.
Yes.
Yes, I love you guys.
It's beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah, it's so beautiful. Mm. And yeah, it can be hard to even ask for it sometimes, but I think it, definitely means a lot when you haven't and they've just
absolutely
stepped in.
Mm.
In terms of like people these days, do you think it's like less common?
Yeah.
Or is it just, I don't know, certain context?
Yeah. Finding good friends is a real blessing in life.
Yeah.
It's not easy for everyone.
Mm.
I found it really hard to find friends as a teenager.
Right.
I poured out a lot into friendships and then got nothing in return.
Oh.
But about 10 years ago when I moved to Sydney, I got the best friends. It was like the years of just sowing into people in high school where I got nothing back. It just all came back to me at once.
Yeah, wow.
And it's just this beautiful moment when you do find that connection with someone of being able to do life with them.
Yeah.
And I think that's maybe where we get a little bit stuck in our current stage of life and with society being more online.
Yeah.
Where it's kind of one-way transactions.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas friendship is about sacrifice.
Totally.
It's about generosity. It's about giving up things for yourself in order to bless other people.
Mm.
And I think if there's a screen in between that, it does block that sort of dance like I was talking about of friendship, really being able to invest in people and use something that costs you something. And I do think, today it can be maybe a little bit harder to find those life-giving relationships that cost you something.
Yeah, and I think it's speaking of technology and stuff, like the narrative you see a lot is just looking out for yourself.
Yes.
Anyway, and so it's like, of course it's going to stop there. Totally. That's what you're being told is like, oh, here's all these things you can do to just look after yourself.
Yes.
And as soon as someone wrongs you, it's, I'm cutting them off. Like, it's not serving me.
Oh, this whole like self-serving culture. Don't get me started. Like the whole self-preservation, self-care, personal boundaries. Mm-hmm. And obviously don't take this to the extreme. Boundaries are great, but it is meant to cost something and it is about servanthood.
Yeah.
And I think Jesus leads the way perfectly.
Mm.
He shows us exactly what it is like to be a good friend.
Yeah.
And that he came to serve.
Mm.
Like the Son of God came to serve. Isn't that incredible? Yeah. I don't know if you've watched The Chosen.
Oh, I have.
I love The Chosen.
Jackson and I were talking about it a couple episodes ago. I was like, I love it.
It's so good. And
and
for me, what it has been doing, I'm still going, so no spoilers.
Okay.
It really brings to life the humanity of Jesus. It brings out these characteristics that in between the scriptures that we don't read about. And I understand there's creative liberties taken here because it's a TV show. But just seeing those moments of genuine love and friendship amongst the disciples, like they're pulling pranks on each other.
I know.
And I'm like, I bet the banter would have been good between Jesus and the disciples. They spent a lot of time together.
Yeah.
But even when you're introduced to the disciples, we're introduced to Judas. And I was like, oh, is this naughty Judas?
Yeah.
And then the whole series I'm watching going, Judas, I can't believe you're going to do what you're going to do. But Jesus doesn't treat him like that.
No.
The whole way through, he treats him like a friend.
Yeah, exactly.
He invests in him. He grows him as a disciple.
Yeah.
He loves on him. He serves him.
Totally.
With full knowledge that he's going to betray him. And so I'm just reminded, like, I'm watching with cynical eyes going, naughty Judas, I know what's coming. But Jesus, he was a true friend. He led the way of what it is to have beautiful human relationships.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because he said it's all about serving and loving others. And even though he knew what was coming, he was willing to invest even in that friendship.
Yeah, well, he even, I mean, like Sermon on the Mount, classic, world famous speech. And he says, love your enemies.
Exactly.
And he was.
Yeah.
He was absolutely doing it, whether that person had done the thing or not yet. Like, we know it's coming, obviously. But he just absolutely exhibited what it looks like.
Exactly.
And it's just, I don't know how he does it. He's so much better than us.
Yes. And God leads an upside down kingdom, right?
Yeah.
And so the things that feel natural and is the loudest voice in this world is often totally opposite to the way that God calls us to live. Mm. So you're right. He calls us to pray for our enemies, to love our enemies, to serve one another humbly, to fight for unity. And that really does take a bit of a fight from us. It does go against kind of what feels natural in this world. But I just think it's a beautiful reminder that Jesus was fully human.
Mm.
He had human relationships.
Yeah.
He led the way for us in what it is to have friendships.
Mm-hmm.
He mourned with people.
Yeah.
He mourned friends.
Mm.
And he just beautifully demonstrated what it is to live a life of humility.
Yeah.
Like you think about even the way that he entered this world,
mm-hmm.
right? God sent his son.
Mm-hmm.
He could have come on thundering clouds. He could have come in the most glorious, spectacular way, but he didn't.
No.
He came to us in the most vulnerable human form,
yeah.
which was a newborn baby
mm-hmm.
born to a lower class family.
True, yeah.
An unmarried teenage, yeah. you know, couple. And just that very entrance to the world demonstrated just how his kingdom is going to work. Like he is God with us.
Yeah.
He's Emmanuel.
Mm-hmm.
So he's not just above and ruling from a distance, but he actually came to earth to be fully human with us.
Fully in community.
He chose his presence over prestige.
Yeah.
So he was so loving. He wanted to be connected with us on such a deep level that he was willing to be with us.
Yeah.
So he's felt every human emotion.
Mm-hmm.
He was tempted in every way.
Yeah.
Yet he did not sin.
Yeah.
He lived the most perfect life. So he's the ultimate example of what it is to have real relationships, real friendships, and to serve one another.
Yeah, he's just incredible. He's just the best. Illy Jesus. But yeah, it's a good point of just like how much he kind of came in and was surrounded.
Mm.
And yes, he would feel tired and stuff. And that's not to say like to be in community and to be serving people means that you have to give 24/7 and be around people 24/7. Like that's just not it.
No.
And it's not practical. And like Jesus showed the example often of withdrawing and being with the Father to just rejuvenate himself. And often even when he was doing that, people were just like still following him.
Mm.
But it doesn't say like that Jesus says, oh no, guys, I'm praying. Just leave me alone.
Mm.
It says he has compassion on them because he's just like, they are sheep without a shepherd. They're just so lost. Like, look at them.
Yes.
I've given them this taste of all I know and they're just chasing after me. And he has compassion on them and like draws near to them.
Yeah.
And yeah, so talking about community, I mean, you've said it comes with sacrifice and living beyond yourself and not just serving yourself pretty much. What are some like practical examples for people, whether they're in big communities or little communities? Yep. Yeah, just ways to like do community well.
Yeah. Yeah, like I said, it's a two-way street.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bit of a dance. And so you can't be just sitting around waiting for a good friend.
Yeah, true.
Be one first.
Yeah.
Lead the way. Be exactly what you're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're wanting people to surround you with support, rally around someone else.
Yeah.
If you wish people would step in and be generous in a season that you're lacking, go and be generous for someone else when they're lacking. So you really do need to not just sit around and wait for the perfect friend to just walk through and be like, hello,
is it me
you're looking for?
Yeah.
You need to put in the work. You need to sow the seeds of friendship. Mm. So it actually takes an investment.
Yeah.
Be prayerful about it.
Mm-hmm.
Pray for the people that you want in your life and do what it takes to invest, to serve, to be sacrificial in that kind of love.
Yeah.
And you've got to take up every opportunity.
Yeah.
You're not going to make friends by rocking up at church at 10 and leaving at 11:30. It means lingering. It means starting conversations with people you don't know.
Yeah.
It might mean taking that bold step and asking for someone's name. You know, those little things that might seem small as we talk about it, but let's say you're at church on a Sunday.
Totally. Yeah, it's hard.
To put yourself out and be like, you know what? I'm going to commit. I'm going to hang around afterwards. Mm-hmm. I'm going to grab a coffee and I dare myself to meet three people. I'm just going to try and learn three new names. So really take opportunities that are there for you to learn about someone, to learn a name. You do have to put yourself out there.
Yep.
It's not just going to come to you while you passively
just
wait.
Just stand there with a smile on your face waiting for someone to say
hi. Yeah, exactly.
Guys, I'm open.
I'm ready for a friend.
And have there been any moments where you've done that like outside of church? Like with your kids being home and that sort of thing?
Well, I do it because we go to parks and we go to play groups and things like that. And I just give myself a goal sometimes. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to meet one new mum today. Mm-hmm. And it's very simple. You ask their name, you ask how old their kids are, and then you manage to get to get talking somehow.
Yeah.
And you know what the key is? Remembering it next time.
Yeah, totally.
And I write it down in my phone. Yeah. That's as simple as it is. Exactly. You know, even in church, as soon as I learn someone's name, I just quickly pop it as a note in my phone, and just the act of writing it down,
yeah,
I remember. Often don't even need to go revisit it, but it's the intentionality of I'm here to meet people.
Yeah.
I want to invest in you. Mm-hmm. And so that investment might even just be noting someone's name down and remembering it for next time.
Yeah.
And you look at the way that Jesus invested in relationships. Mm. He knew that he had a short time ahead of him.
Yeah.
He knew that he had limited time with his disciples ministering to other people, but he knew that it was worthwhile. He was like, even if it's just a few years, I'm going to fully invest in these people. I'm going to fully dive into their worlds. Yeah. And that just speaks beautifully about how we're meant to interact with other people. It's all about the investment and showing that you care.
Yeah, totally. That's a great point too. It literally was 3 years of his ministry and he developed those relationships to be so deep.
Yeah.
That obviously, yes, he was the Son of God and that's why they were willing to give their lives, but they did. They did. Like willingly gave up their lives, which he says like to love someone is to lay down your life for them, which can mean just cooking a meal. It can mean giving up your literal life, but obviously it's not what we're asking people to do right now. But no, they're great tips. And I think it is, it just does take that intentionality of I'm going to look beyond myself and reach into this person's world.
Yes.
And I might be tired right now, but it's going to mean more to them in this moment than me just passing by and leaving them on their merry way to.
And I would even add to that, invest in relationships that are a little bit tough.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying toxic or dysfunctional. I'm just saying, have you heard of EGR?
No.
It means extra grace required.
Oh, gosh.
It's just sometimes people in your life, you love them, but they're just a little bit EGR.
Yeah.
Extra grace required. Mm-hmm. Maybe they talk about themselves a lot.
Yeah.
Maybe they have an annoying habit. I don't know what it is, but they're a great person. Mm-hmm. And you know that it just takes a little bit more from you to invest. Totally. Just do it.
Yeah.
I think we can build a bit of resilience in our friendship building and relationship developing. Yeah. I don't think we need to be so cookie cutter about, like we were talking about before, self-preservation, having the perfect people in our lives.
It's just not realistic.
Invest. Yeah. That's what Jesus did. He invested in the broken people, friend of sinners, friends of people that who were going to betray him.
Yeah.
And so it's just looking beyond yourself, dropping the walls a bit and going, you know what? Some of these conversations are a little bit hard, require a little bit more work, but I'm going to put the investment in because I care about you.
Mm-hmm.
I care about showing Jesus's love to you.
Yeah.
And so I'd say let's develop a little bit more resilience in our friendships, in relationship building, not to judge people, whether you think you could be friends, whether you vibe or not. Yeah. Just go for it.
Totally.
Be Jesus to them. Take the opportunity.
Mm-hmm. I completely agree. I completely agree. Well, that is definitely all we have time for today. But if you want to hear more about compassion, relationships, Jesus' humanity, we encourage you to come to church. Head to c3syd.church to find the location near you. We have 4 across Sydney. Plan your visit. Come say hi. Step out of your comfort zone. Yeah. And
come make new friends.
Yes, come make new friends. We hope to see you there. Thanks, Emily.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks. Bye.